Chicago, Detroit, L.A., Miami, Orlando, Durham, Kansas City, St. Louis, New Orleans. Workers descended on McDonald's headquarters and franchises across the country this week in protest of sexual harassment complaints brought by employees. In the hundreds of voices, here's one of them.
My name is Kimberly Lawson. I'm 25 years old. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I work at the McDonald's on Main Street in Kansas City, Missouri, and I make $8.75 an hour.
Kimberly got the job last June, but then she started having trouble with both a shift manager and a coworker.
There were two different incidents. One was from a shift manager, and he basically made really lewd comments towards me and constantly flirted and made advances towards me, and I, you know, tried to decline him as politely as possible because he was a shift manager. And eventually I just cut my shift down an hour so I wouldn't have to encounter him again. The second incident was with a coworker. He would flirt with me as well. Then it started from flirting to trying to give me gifts and stuff like that. And then eventually it escalated into him brushing up against me and touching my butt and stuff.
So Kimberly tried to do something about it.
I talked to a shift manager, and I actually talked to the GM, and the shift manager actually, you know, just told him to stay away from me and leave me alone, and, you know, just to stay out of my space. And the GM, he just brushed it off and just told me that I don't have to worry about it because he was going to get himself fired pretty soon anyway, but he's still there.
Kimberly told us that she felt like she didn't get the support from her employer that she needed, and she wasn't protected from these types of incidents happening in the first place.
I felt like that there should be some type of training, or they should know that their own rules, and the fact that he didn't care and he still made his advances, and even though I showed that they were unwanted, I felt like I was more expendable than he was because he was a manager and I was just a crew member.
And the last year has been a difficult time for Kimberly.
I felt very violated. I felt like it wasn't a safe place to be. I felt like it could happen again and, you know, it might happen again. I felt like I couldn't quit because I need my income, because I do have a daughter to take care of. And I just felt like I was just in a very bad place because I was in a work, I am in a work environment that I still feel uncomfortable in, and I still feel like they don't take the safety of their employees very seriously.
Today, low-wage workers and the Me Too movement. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
We all stand up for ourselves because we do matter, and we are not just expendable employees. That if this keeps happening, if we keep allowing it to happen, then maybe it will escalate if we don't stop it now.
You just heard Kimberly Lawson's story. Groping, propositions for sex, lewd comments by supervisors. Those are just some of the allegations workers are bringing against McDonald's this week. Two national advocacy groups, the Fight for 15 and the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, brought the claims on behalf of 10 current and former employees of the fast food chain. Both McDonald's Corporation and individual franchises were named to the complaint. And in response, McDonald's spokeswoman Terry Hickey told us on Monday there is, quote, no place for harassment and discrimination of any kind. Except that's not the reality for many women who work in low-wage service sector jobs. According to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, between 2005 and 2015, the accommodation and food services industry had the highest number of sexual harassment charges filed by women. That was followed by retail trade, domestic work, healthcare, social assistance, manufacturing, and office administration. Fatima Goss-Graves is president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, which houses and runs the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. Time's Up is providing funding for these 10 women's cases, and her organization has been tracking the data on complaints brought by low-income workers closely. Fatima, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So a lot to unpack here. Let's start with addressing this specific case being brought against McDonald's. This isn't the first time that workers have brought these types of complaints. 2 years ago, there were similar allegations made. What did women allege at the time, and how far have we come today?
So in 2016, very similar allegations were made against McDonald's and many of its franchisees that women were enduring verbal harassment, lewd comments day in and day out, sexual touching, and that when they reported, they saw one of two outcomes. Either nothing happened or they experienced retaliation for coming forward. So they filed these charges with the EEOC, and I think it's a good example of what happens, especially in low-wage jobs, and that it is, in general, hard to get attorneys to take these types of cases. And a large employer can really just wait it out and not make the sort of changes that would make a meaningful difference throughout their workforce.
I would like to address the fact that you said it's hard for an attorney to take these cases. Why is that?
Well, for, you know, litigation is expensive for sure, and that's true whether or not you make a lot of money or you are a low-paid worker. And unfortunately, the amount you can get in recovery and the amount the attorney could ultimately get definitely varies if you are a low-wage worker. It's going to be much smaller. And so one of the things that we wanted to be sure happened with the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund is that we created the right incentives to be sure that more attorneys were stepping in and taking cases, especially in low-wage fields where rates of harassment are high.
And is that because attorneys, I mean, essentially aren't going to make enough money off of the client if it's a low-wage worker?
That's right. I mean, if you think about it, this, many attorneys are basically small businesses themselves, right? And they can only do so much pro bono and so much reduced rate type cases. And drawing attorneys into cases where they may not be able to recover all of the money that they put into it, and it is more difficult to do. So we have been able to draw more attorneys in to be willing to sign up to the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. And for some cases, we will be able to also financially support them to help defray the costs.
Now, we talked about the previous charges against McDonald's for similar behavior. What's different about the charges like Kimberly's that are being brought this time?
Well, it really importantly, the charges in many ways are similar, involving individuals who have experienced harassment, comments, unfortunate touching, some of which they've reported and experienced retaliation. So if you looked in 2016, you'd say, oh, that's terrible conduct. And if you look at the charges now, you would be pretty appalled. One of the key differences is that we were able to draw in and support really experienced attorneys to help to bring these cases who are committed to bringing and staying with these women. And we really believe that that will help to make a difference. They're not going to just be able to wait these charges out.
I'm speaking with Fatima Goss Graves, president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, and we're talking about workplace harassment for low-wage workers in this country. Curious about whether, I mean, we saw the Me Too movement launch, and really in its has been centered around white-collar employees and Hollywood movie stars. Are these cases of low-wage women workers not getting the attention they deserve?
I think we have an opportunity to make the Me Too movement what we believe it should be. And that is a movement that ensures that all women, no matter where they work, can work with safety and dignity. And so that is what we are trying to do here, to ensure that Me Too and this public conversation touches everyone, every aspect of their lives. And you know, people who are working in low-wage jobs, it's, you know, these aren't the sexiest jobs. They aren't the most exciting things. So it is harder to get the same level of attention. But we know their stories are powerful. We hear from them every single day at the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. And so we are really thrilled to be able to shine a light on what they are facing at work and try to push businesses to do better by these workers too.
Are low-wage workers more susceptible to certain types of harassment than, say, white-collar workers might be?
You know, one of the things that we know is that harassment is an everywhere problem in every single field. But for low-wage workers in particular, there's some job conditions that make it especially hard. Some of it is the low pay, right? So you make low wages, you don't have a savings, and when you're faced with enduring harassment or standing up and potentially losing your job to retaliation, many people take it day in and day out because they can't afford to lose a day's paycheck, and that's a reality. The other thing that we know in fast food in particular, you have a lot of young workers. For many women, this is their first job. They're 15, 16, 17 years old, including some of the people who have filed charges. And, you know, they experience this harassment and have no idea where to go, nowhere to turn to. And when they have come forward, they too experience retaliation, which is an especially hard way to enter the workforce.
And I would also say that the fast food profile, worker profile has changed in addition. It's also people who are heads of household, single moms in many instances. I'm curious about, we just had a decision from the Supreme Court around the issue of an employee's ability to bring a class action suit against his or her employee. What role would that play in an employee's ability to bring these types of sexual harassment cases?
You know, just this week, the Epic Systems case was a pretty devastating case because it basically said that employers could require their workers to sign these documents that basically say any complaints that you have, including of discrimination, have to be dealt with through arbitration and individually. And what that will ultimately mean is that for most workers, they'll be forced into what is kind of a secret process to deal with these very serious claims, and they lose the ability to stand together with other people and challenge as a class or as a collective action. So that's really devastating. I think what we can expect, unfortunately, to see is that more and more employers, now that this has been sanctioned by the Supreme Court, will come up with these sorts of arbitration agreements, these forced arbitration agreements, and that don't allow you to actually engage collectively or as a class.
Fatima Goss-Graves is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And hey, we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE if you want in on this conversation, or tweet us at The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.